Well, good morning. I think we'll go for a longer meet and greet time. I can't get to see everybody within the 5 minutes we got. I think we'll do it for a full hour and then I'll just take a break. It's a good idea. Before I get started, you can open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 23. But I received a text from Mark Ramirez over at Calvary Chapel, Fredericksburg, and he put me in touch with his missions leader over there. And he sent me a text saying that they're looking at doing a couple of missions trips, and we are invited to participate, support in any way, shape, or fashion that we would like to. And they'll send me more details later, but they're looking at going to Asheville, North Carolina to help with the people out there through that Helen Relief work. And I guess the Rock, PA, and I don't know what that is. But again, we'll get more information on that, and I will pass that along. So please, carefully start praying and considering maybe helping out in that way, shape, or form. Be it financially, be it, hey, you know, I got a couple days I can take off and go out and help out, something like that. So start thinking about that. When I get that information, I'll put it out, and maybe we'll just take a Sunday and all go and help out and do something. But anyways, I titled this one today, Who Will You Be a Slave To? And if you recall last week, we saw Paul showing us that Christ died once to sin for all, and that the life he lives for God. Christ is both our Savior and our role model. Dying on the cross is a one-time payment for the sins of others. And he covered the past, the present, and the future sins of all who would come to believe upon him. Dying on the cross is a one-time payment. Now that Christ is resurrected, though, he lives again to God. In other words, Christ's continued purpose is to live, to keep living as God and for God's glory forever, just as we will be doing. And we ended in verse 11, where he said, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have died to our old taskmaster sin and now are to be alive to God." And Paul's going to just take this and put it in depth for us now as we look at these next verses. So let's read through these. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we just ask that you open your word to us. Open our hearts to hear it and to understand it, Father. And Father, we thank you so much for this time that we can meet here and come together. And Lord, and just be with each other in fellowship. And we do lift up, Father, that you would provide for us a place where we can spend time together in fellowship. But we thank you for this meeting place. We thank you for all the places you brought us to. And Lord, we just ask you to guide us, use us for your glory. And today, Father, to prepare our hearts for your word. In Jesus' name. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Paul letting us know here to be careful not to give in to sin or obey it. We see many times in the Old Testament where sin reigned and where God even warned the individuals or people of this. We certainly saw it with Cain. God even warned him. If you recall in Genesis chapter 4, and I'll start in verse 3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. God knew what Cain was going to do. He warned him. God knows our human nature, our fallen, sinful nature. His son was tempted in every way that we were. He knows. He's lived it. He knows the battle. He knows sin's desire for us, or our desire to sin. God tells Cain he should rule over his sin. Now you think about it, all Cain had to do was talk to God. He was right there. I am upset about this. What did I do wrong? What were you looking for? How can I do better? All of which would have opened a dialogue with God and built a relationship in which he could have improved his life. But he chose not to. Think about it. We are told also in Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond which you are able. But with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, we're all going to feel temptations. And some of them are going to be more than we can bear. They will challenge us. But if we seek God, if we have the relationship with God, he will make that way of escape for us. He will help us through it. In all we do, we can do nothing without God. John brought this out in chapter 5, verse 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. He goes on in verse 13, says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You know, we are justified, declared righteous when we come to believe and receive God's grace. And now we're going to see how we need to live, how we're supposed to live. Paul wrote this later in chapter 12, in verses 1 there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We are to present ourselves to God every day as we are now going through the process of sanctification. So our members can be tools for God, or they can be tools for our flesh. We get to decide. We can reach out to help another in love because of our love for Christ, as he loved us first. We can run to help others in need as Christ came to us in our time of need. Or we could run and use our members as God has warned us not to. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 15, he says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Sounds like Cain. So we are not to yield our bodies as instruments of unrighteousness, but to surrender them to God that he might take and use our body for his glory. Think of our tongue. You know, we can share Jesus Christ and talk about the power and the blessings of God and encourage people in their walk. People's lives can be blessed and transformed by our words, or lives can be cut down and destroyed by our words. Who do you want to serve? Paul here telling us we must present our bodies to God to be used for righteousness. In fact, we should do it on purpose, like people who have been brought from death to life. Then he kind of gives us a fact, or maybe even a promise, if you will. He says in verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace." Now, Paul, definitely talking about those who've accepted Christ here and put their faith in Jesus. The law given to show us our sin, to convict us, and even maybe to help us control our sin, as we now have the laws to tell us what is right and wrong, what is sin. Because Christ rescued us, that is, we are saved by grace through the faith in what Christ did for us on the cross. Thus, we are under grace and not the law. We are new creatures in God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So Paul writes, we are under grace. Because of God's grace, sin has no dominion over us.